not so complicated. When moments meet as one, are you ready to part the veil and write a new beginning to this tale?
Hey everybody, Paul James Caden here with the Spirit Side in search of Parayurantian Phenomenon. And this week we're going to be talking about a pretty popular subject. I think it's pretty popular out there. It is Chris Bledsoe and the UFO of God. I just got done reading the book UFO of God, written by Chris Bledsoe, where he tells about his encounter with and ongoing encounters with UFOs and their occupants. I thought this was a very awesome book because Chris said a lot of things that I've been saying and that I believed for a number of years. But, you know, I just didn't have the voice or the platform in which to, you know, really get my information out there. And maybe through, you know, the fault of my own, as many of you know, I had an angelic encounter back in 1979. I was 12 years old, and I never, ever, ever talked about it. Until I think it was very late summer or early fall of 2003. And this particular angelic encounter that I had had its fair share of lights in the sky and what we call UFO phenomenon. And, you know, I wrote my book, I sent it out to some publishers. There were a couple that were interested, but they wanted the narrative to be changed. You know, much like Chris's book, when I first had my encounter, I was very skeptical. I was a little bit uneasy. You know, my encounter wasn't negative in any way, but I always wondered what it was. And, you know, this was something I kept to myself until, you know, I started writing the book in 2003. I put it out in, 2008. There were some time delays there. It was just something I was very, you know, hesitant to talk about. And like I said, I was, you know, in the book I wrote how I reacted in the beginning to this phenomenon, partly with you know, joy because it was a very positive experience, but partly with some doubt and fear because I didn't know what it was. And the publishers I had sent it to said, well, when people hear, you know, angel encounters, they want it to be positive. You know, you, in your book, it seems like you were doubtful or fearful for far too long, and we need to change that narrative. And that's not something I wanted to do because it wasn't honest. So I ended up self-publishing my book because I wanted to keep the integrity of the story. And, you know, maybe in the delay in talking about it, certainly back when I was 12 years old, you certainly didn't tell anybody that you were seeing lights in the sky and having strange visitors in your room at night when you were by yourself. This was not something that would have went over very well at all. Where I used to live, my family, my neighborhood, and you know, I think even when I put the book out, it was something I said, well, the people that find it will find it. You know, I don't need to talk about it. I don't need to share anything about, you know, my experience because, you know, I don't want to be labeled like a kook or anything like that. So I had a lot of trepidation kind of going into talking about my experience. And I talk about it now a lot more freely than I used to. I guess, as they say, I'm out of the spiritual closet. But I was very glad to see that Chris Bledsoe, in his book UFO of God, his experience was very similar, you know, in that he was very nervous at first. He didn't quite know what it was. He, unlike myself, tried to talk about it, but he was ostracized by his church, by his family, by his community. He and his family put up with a lot of garbage from people, and inevitably some people got involved. You know, he contacted MUFON, and other people got involved from the government who saw the phenomenon firsthand and saw that he wasn't crazy, he wasn't lying, he wasn't making it up. You know, he got, you know, the book deal for UFO of God, and, you know, he has a much bigger platform to talk about these things. And I'm glad because, you know, Chris has said what I believed for many years now, and that is not all UFO phenomenon is connected with extraterrestrials or beings who are from another planet. Chris believes that a lot of the UFOs, particularly that he sees, are actually angelic beings. And he's done a lot of research and talked to a lot of people that done a lot of research in this area where these lighted orbs in the sky are spoken of, you know, in the context of angels in the Old Testament and other religions and cultures across the world, these heavenly beings. So Chris is very much convinced that what he encountered were, in fact, angels. Now, his encounter, I believe it was, I'm terrible with dates, it was 2007 or 2009 when he had his first encounter. He was out, I believe he was fishing with some friends and his one son, and he decided to take a walk into the woods up by the property, you know, through the property they were fishing on. And he came to this clearing where there was an embankment, and there were these three bright orange orbs just hovering over the hilltop. And he said that they looked like setting suns. They were just bright orange. And that's another thing that when I read it, it just resonated with me, because back in probably 1988, 89, somewhere in that vicinity, I was out with some friends. You know, we were hanging out, and, you know, they were having kind of like the beer party, but I had stopped drinking by then. I didn't party anymore. I was Pepsi and candy bars and, you know, potato chips, and there were a few others, you know, who didn't partake of the alcohol. But we, you know, had a few six packs, you know, beer and soda and snacks, and we went to this remote location, and you know, we were just kind of, it was actually the parking lot of an old silkscreen factory where I used to work in Westtown, New York. And it was abandoned. The factory had shut down. Nobody was there. And, you know, this little factory was like in the middle of nowhere. I mean, Westtown, New York was like boonies and woods, you know, back then. And, you know, nobody had taken a sip of beer at that time. Nobody was drinking. We had just arrived at our spot where we were going to turn on our radio, listen to music, and you know, indulge in whatever snacks and beverages that we had. And this one friend of mine sat on the hood of my car and leaned back. And he said, "What the hell is that?" He pointed up in the sky, and directly above us, or right over my car in the sky, was this thing that looked like two large setting suns connected by a bar. And we sat there looking at it for a second, and it looked like the sky just closed around it, like it was cloaking itself. It was there, but it wasn't. And at that time, you know, we had known enough about UFOs and all that. We were like, "Quick, check the time. You know, we have missing time." You know, we're like checking the our watches and everything, and the little clock in the car. But we didn't have any missing time. But nonetheless, I found that interesting that, you know, Chris Bledsoe had seen something that was very similar. They weren't attached to one another like this one was that we saw. But, you know, he explains that color, you know, that bright orange glowing like a setting sun in the summertime, where you can look at the sun for a few minutes or a few seconds without actually hurting your eyes, because it's just this big glowing bright orange ball. And so I found that to be very confirming and interesting and real, you know, because I once upon a time saw the same thing right above my car. But long story short, Chris was, you know, pretty freaked out, and he hid, you know, in some trees and in some brush, and, you know, finally made his way back to his friends and his son, only to find out that he had been gone for 4 hours and they were looking for him, you know, all this time. And his son was still out there in the woods looking for him. So Chris went looking for his son, found his son in the brush, and his son also said that he saw these three glowing orbs, and he was taken by these beings with bright red eyes. And Chris's son, I believe his name was Chris Jr., had some serious nightmares and post-traumatic stress, you know, over that particular encounter for a lot of years. He went through a lot before he finally came to terms with what had happened to him. And so in UFO of God, Chris also tells the tale of the different healings that he experienced. At one time, he was suffering very badly from Crohn's disease. He was actually disabled from it. He couldn't work. He was, as he explains in the book, he was chained to the bathroom and afraid to go out. If he did go out, he'd feel, you know, that he had to go. He had to go right back home. And he was on some pretty heavy medication. And I believe it was right after the experience with the orbs the first time that the Crohn's disease actually just ceased. You know, he didn't have it anymore. And he also at one point had and still has rheumatoid arthritis very badly. But for some reason, you know, having this phenomenon happen, it seems to be held in check in, you know, some mysterious way where, you know, he still has it, but he's functional. You know, he's not in the pain that he used to be in. And since he has been healed by praying for others who were ill. Chris has actually seen other people, again, with witnesses and government officials there, have seen people recover from terminal illnesses just by Chris praying for them. So it's a pretty remarkable story, and it appears that it's still going on. That Chris, if you're familiar with him, and I'm sure many people listening to this podcast are, he still continues to see the orbs. He has a lot of footage. He puts some of the footage out. I guess he has a lot of it on Instagram. I'm really not on Instagram, so I haven't seen a lot of it, but I'll probably go over there and check it out at one point, because I'm very interested in the footage that he's capturing of these orbs. But also, it was as this phenomenon went on, there was one point where, again, being ostracized by, you know, his family, his community, his church, and just, you know, so many, you know, just bad things happened to the family, and, you know, his kids were being picked on in school, you know, ridiculed even by teachers. And Chris decided, and I think this was around Easter time, 2000, again, I blank on the dates. It was 2001, 2002, something, somewhere in that area, I think. But Chris had went outside and actually shouted to the heavens and said, well, he's not going to talk about UFOs anymore. He's not going to talk about the phenomenon anymore. He's done with it. He's had enough. He's never speaking of it again. You know, his one son, Chris Jr., has been through hell with post-traumatic stress and fear and nightmares because of the encounter when he was taken by the beings with the glowing red eyes. And so Chris just swore off of ever talking about the phenomenon again until I believe it was Easter Sunday or the day before Easter, around that date I mentioned, that he went outside and saw this mysterious lady who was just, he described her being like, you know, no larger, I think, than 4 or 5 feet tall, and she was standing in the air above him. And he said she was absolutely beautiful beyond description, and she like emanated this light, this glow. And she told Chris that if he would speak about the phenomenon that he was experiencing, she would be with him, she would protect him. And that's when all of the healing started, you know, through him, and a lot of other things have happened. He saw the lady you know, at different times. I think she's appeared to him 2 or 3 times now, if I'm not mistaken that we know of. He said there's a lot more to the story than what's in the book UFO of God. But yeah, it's a fascinating book, and I would recommend, if you're interested in the UFO phenomenon at all, especially if you're one of those people who say, I don't think they're all aliens. I think that they are, you know, this UFO phenomenon across the world is somehow connected with angels. You know, if you have that kind of interest, especially, you're going to want to read UFO of God and, you know, hear what Chris has to say about his particular encounter. Now, you know, I cover just in a nutshell, you know, his experience and the experience of his family. But now I want to talk about some of the questions that I have. And I can't really compare my experience with his. His is you know, so much more going on than I ever did. But nonetheless, my particular angelic encounter with the phenomenon of lights in the sky started in 1979, repeated again in 1983, briefly in 1985 or 6, I think it was, the winter of 1991, and then the last time in 2003. And in 2003, that's when I was, compelled to write all this down, write the book, put it out there. And I did. I didn't deal with so many, different phenomenon like Chris did. There were lights in the sky during my particular encounter, but certainly not as many. And the funny thing is, I mean, we didn't have cell phones or camcorders or anything like that. At least my family didn't. We got our first camcorder, believe it or not, in the I think it was the fall or early winter of 1991, and we recorded, my father, my mother's, aunt and her brother, lived down in Georgia or in New York State, and one of the first things that we recorded with that camcorder is the putting up of our Christmas tree in 1991, and, I was, younger and stupid and making stupid jokes on the thing. And on that tape, which I have a copy of, on DVD, I'm looking at the angel on top of the tree and say, oh, yeah, I encountered an angel that looked just like that, behind where I work today. That's as far as I went with it. I kind of said it as a joke, but just reminiscing there for a minute. But we didn't even have a camcorder till 1991, and it's so funny that it never, and I swear to God, it never dawned on me to say, hey, I'm going to take the camcorder out and try to film something. I just didn't, I guess because it was so long, that we didn't have something like that, that it just didn't dawn on me to try to get footage. I had a camera at one point, but it was an old Polaroid camera. And I think by that time, 1991, it was kind of an old camera, and I think it kind of, bit the dust. But, we didn't have a lot of this stuff available to us to catch the phenomenon on camera. Looking back, I wished I had tried. There were a couple times where certainly there were things, and thank God there were eyewitnesses there that I mentioned in the book, but it would have been quite fascinating, to go out there and try to film or take a picture of some of this stuff, because it had its moments of the lights in the sky. Again, not as many as Chris and his experience, but the thing, again, not comparing, but the things I question. And if anybody in the Bledsoe family, runs across this podcast and listens to it, don't think I'm one of these fundamentalist Christians that are, judging or saying, oh, it's a demon. You've heard enough of that, and certainly anybody that I shared my experience with when I did start talking about it had the same reaction. And I, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating when you're trying to tell people something that's so incredible, so fascinating, and all they can say, well, you better be careful. That's the devil. I'm not one of those people at all. However, there's a couple of things I do question in the phenomenon, and that is, in my experience, my personal experience, when I encountered this angelic being. Now there were times, again, as crazy as it sounds, being, you know, aboard a craft. I never, that I recollect, had missing time. I was never abducted. There were never, I never had any fear and dread. The fear and doubt that I had was my own mind. And, you know, my own mind when I was younger pretty much went through the question, is, you know, is this thing friendly? Is it a demon? You know, what is it? Is it an alien? Is it just a figment of my own imagination? Am I, you know, do I have an undiagnosed mental illness and I'm hallucinating? What is it? You know, that was pretty much, but I didn't have any dread like I had nightmares about the encounter. I never had nightmares. I never had fear. I never had, you know, any kind of encounters with other beings with red eyes or green eyes that made me feel uncomfortable or scared. So that's the first thing that I kind of question is, you know, that level of fear in the beginning, especially for Chris Jr. It took him such a long time to be comfortable with this situation. You know, even though I doubted and questioned my experience, I never had fear. And when it reoccurred in my life, it was like I was always meeting an old friend. You know, it was always, oh, hi, how are you? Hey, you know, there was never like a, oh my God, she's back. You know, I never had anything like that occurred. So I wonder, was that fear just a human reaction to a phenomenon that the Bledsoes didn't understand? Or was it a fear that kind of emanated from the beings, you know, that aura, you know, as a paranormal investigator and someone who has seen a lot of, you know, paranormal phenomenon in my life, there are just some beings you're curious about. Sometimes you encounter something that has that human reaction of, what the heck is that? You know, and then there are those encounters that with the beings you feel just the evil and the malevolence and the heaviness that invokes that fear. You know, every hair on your body just stands up and you're immediately in fight or flight mode. And most of the time you're not going to stand there and fight. You're going to run like hell to get away from it. So I wonder if that initial fear that the Bledsoes experienced had to do with just a human reaction, or did it somehow come from the beings? The second thing that I question is the whole abduction and missing time. I mean, during my particular encounter, you know, I had moments of healing, moments of spiritual awakening and kind of opening up to see more of the depth and spectrum of the unseen world around me, we could say. But I was never taken. I was never taken where anything was done to me. You know, this was just a natural phenomenon that happened to me by being around this angelic being that had such a high, loving, positive, heavenly energy. You know, it was like her energy, it was like radiation, you know, being in the presence of this angelic being just kind of changed me. You know, Chris seems to think during his missing time something was done to him to make him more aware of the orbs in the sky, the ability, you know, to pray and help people to heal. You know, he has this, he's never really remembered what happened that I know of during that moment of missing time when he first saw the three orbs. But, you know, he has an idea of being on this craft looking out, seeing the earth below, which, again, gives me goosebumps because I had a very similar experience during my encounter back in 1979. And I know a lot of other people that have had these air quotes alien angel encounters that have had the same thing. So there's a lot of us out there, you know, and we're just now starting to speak, even though the world wants to call you crazy and blasphemous and demonic and whatever the case may be. So, you know, hats off to Chris for, again, bringing this subject into the light. And I always knew, you know, and I'm going to get back to what I was saying in a second, and I always knew this would happen, that somehow this information would become more seriously thought about. Because I believe a lot of these UFOs, that as we call them, that we're seeing around the globe, I feel they're angelic, I feel they're watching, and a time is coming when they are probably going to intervene when we get a little too close to taking ourselves, you know, over the brink here on planet Earth. But I also think, in my experience, in my research, I feel that the UFO phenomenon is not only connected with angels, but connected with what we call demons, you know, those bad energies. I don't think they're all friendly. And that's where we have to be careful. You know, there's a lot of new agey kind of people out there, you know, on the fringes of the new age who, you know, there's no such thing as bad, there's no such thing as evil, there's no such thing as an evil spirit. You know, they're just kind of misled, or they're the tricksters, or that sort of thing. And they will interact or allow to come into their lives, you know, any old being that comes along. And that's why you see, you know, a lot of these people years later, you know, on shows like the 700 Club going, oh, you know, I was a new ager and I was into all this stuff and I talked to this being and it was great at first. And, you know, then I found out it was a demon and it really scared me because, you know, what are you going to do after a situation like that? You're going to run to the other team, you know, who tells you it's a demon. Yes, it was a demon. It scared me. It was horrible, you know. And, hey, they were probably right. You know, it's, you know, an unfriendly entity, we'll put it that way. But getting back to what I was saying, you know, Chris feels that during that missing time scenario, that the beings did something to him to prepare him for what he's doing today. Which is interesting, and I'm not somebody that has all the answers by any means, but I was never abducted, I never had anything done to me that I can't recall. So that whole thing again makes me kind of question. There's the fear, there's the taking of Chris, the taking of his son. Chris and a whole bunch of people were out on a paranormal exploration one night, and they all had missing time, and there was these beings with glowing green eyes. You know, so I don't know, in my experience, that angels are going around abducting people. You know, that's just not how, for the most part, they seem to operate. When you're talking about things like missing time, being taken, not remembering, you're getting more into things like the myth of the jinn in Islam. Other spirits the old people used to talk about, you know, the little people, the fairy folk, you know, these different spirits that would take people and sometimes bring them back, and sometimes they'd never be seen again. And, you know, a lot of them were in the mountains and the woods, and they had the glowing eyes, and they floated just above the ground, you know, type of thing. So it's very extraterrestrial. So that's something that, you know, one of the things I pause on that makes me go, you know, I'm not sure. You know, I don't know why there would be so many abduction scenarios around angelic beings. You know, hitch that up to the trailer of, you know, the fear. And, you know, the next big thing that I question, and again, if any of the Bledsoes ever find and listen to this podcast, I'm not downing, I'm not doubting, I'm not crying demon like some of these other people. These are just questions I have as a fellow paranormal investigator, UFO enthusiast, and I guess they call it experiencer now. You know, when you have these encounters. So don't think I'm, you know, any of the Bledsoes hear this, I'm not judging or pointing fingers or saying, oh, you know, I don't have all the answers. I'm just questioning based on my experience and my research that I've done over the years. And the next big thing that I really question is the level of just terrible things that happened to the Bledsoe family when these, you know, encounters started. You know, illnesses, you know, just streaks of bad luck. It seemed like everything just like imploded. And, you know, Chris kind of wondered, you know, are the beings doing this to me? Is the lady doing this to me? Is, you know, is this part of my test type of thing? You know, I'm here, you know, telling their story, you know, that, you know, why is so many bad things happening? And that's one that kind of makes me question too, because in my experience, whenever this being showed up, it was never tragic. There was never illness and loss of jobs and family tragedies and just, you know, so many streaks of bad luck over and over and over again. You know, in fact, it was the opposite in my experience when this angelic being showed up. even if life was not going in a good direction because of my own bad choices, life started to go in a very good direction immediately that she showed up. It was like her presence, her energy just made everything more wonderful and tolerable, and problems that I thought were so big or struggled with for so long always had a solution. It was the complete opposite. You know, people were healed, people were helped. There just wasn't so much tragedy that seemed to be attached to the phenomenon. So that kind of makes me question. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of the research and the questionings that that the Bledsoe family and Chris, have done during this phenomenon. I believe, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, that he looks at this mysterious woman as being kind of like the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he talks to her when he prays, you know, for people to be healed and whatnot. He'll call upon her. I'm wondering, because my thing is this, through all the different encounters that I've had in my life, ghosts, spirits, scary spirits, UFOs, you know, you name it. My thing is, just because we're finite individuals here on planet Earth doesn't mean we don't have a right to question. Who are you really? And why are you really here? You know, it's easy to experience something, whether it's positive or even if it's scary at first and then it gets positive, to say, oh, you know, well, this is an angel. This is something good. This is my spirit guide. This is, you know, my space brothers and sisters, or, you know, whatever label we put on it. And we don't really question the beings themselves. Who are you really, and what do you want really? And my thing is, with the Christian background, and bear with me here, you know, there's that verse in the Bible that talks about testing the spirits, and every spirit that denies that, you know, Christ came in the flesh is not of God. And that's something in my experience that I was told, you know, this is how you question the spirits. This is how you question any being. You ask them, you know, who is Jesus? And if they deny him, that spirit is not of God. Now, see, that's in the Bible, and that's something that I was told in my encounter, and it makes sense. You know, I'm not getting religious on anybody here, because, you know, if you listen to my podcast at all, you know how I feel about religion, you know, organized religion, man's religion. But it makes sense, because if there be a God, and I believe there is, that God naturally would give us some kind of tool, some kind of, you know, litmus test to understand what it is we're dealing with, so we're just not taken or deceived by any spirit or being that comes along. If we don't have that litmus test, then we're like the New Agers who welcome anything in, and we're liable to get bit in the backside in the end. It seems like it's my friend. It seems like it's my spirit guide. It seems like it's whatever. And then in the end, it got very demonic and scary. And there was poltergeist activity all through my house, and I was having nightmares and things pulling the covers off of me and scratching me and biting me and throwing things in my house and knocking things over, and you know, I was terrified. You know, even the bad guys can seem like they're from the light at first and for a while. So how do we know if they're a bad guy or not? Again, if there be a God, and I believe there is, then wouldn't he give us some kind of tool to be able to use to test those spirits? And that's why I think asking the spirit, who are you? Who are you really? Who was Jesus Christ to you? Who do you, you know, as Jesus says in the Bible, you know, who do you say I am? Asking the spirits, who do you say he is? And if there's denial, if there's things that are wonky, then we know we're dealing with something that is not necessarily heavenly. And believe me, I've been studying paranormal and UFOs for many years, and I've ran across a lot of encounters where people did just that with these beings, and these beings got either very belligerent, very angry, very mean, you know, sometimes very scary, where at first we're here to help. We're here to show you something. Trust us. But once questioned on the personage of Jesus Christ, the tables turn. They're not so nice, and they end up leaving the person, and they never come back. Why? And these are just not religious, fanatical people having encounters. They're just regular people that have their faith, their religion, their way of belief. And they ask the natural question, are you from God? Are you from Jesus Christ? Who do you say Jesus is? So, you know, it makes sense to me that we would have that tool, and we should not be afraid to use it. We have a right to question. Did not Jesus say in the Gospels, behold, I give you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You will cast out, you know, the evil spirits. You will trample on the serpents and the scorpions. Those are symbols for the bad spirits, the bad guys. He said, I'm giving you authority. The thing is, most of the time we don't realize we have authority, and so we just cave in, you know, under the fear or you know, the stress, or maybe it comes, what is it called, the Munchausen syndrome, where you begin to believe your captor is your friend. You know, that maybe if someone is terrorized and terrified enough and they feel that there's nothing they can do about it, then they just give in eventually to say, well, no, actually, yeah, it is a good thing. I believe them. They're harmless. They're good. They're not going to do me any harm. You know, I'm okay, they're okay type of thing. And, you know, I think that's certainly something that's possible. Not saying that's what Chris and his family did. I'm just saying, again, comparing experiences, I certainly would have, and if I haven't already, I would question a little more in depth, you know, these beings. Again, who are you really? What exactly is it that you're doing here? What exactly is it that you want from me? And I think, you know, many times that's where the, you know, our governments step in the pothole, because again, they're looking at this as an opportunity. What can these beings share with us? You know, weapons and technology and this and that. So they're not questioning where these things came from. They're just interested in what they can get out of it. Human greed. And the bad guys are going to love that, and they're going to tell you they're from Mars and Jupiter and Pluto, or, you know, anywhere you want them to be from. You know, hey, I'm a Pleiadian or an Arcturian or whatever the case might be. So my thing is question. Definitely don't be afraid to question. And again, I'm not saying that Chris and his family are deceived. I'm not saying they're entertaining devils and demons or anything like that. I think the story is great. I think the book is great. I think it's great that it's getting the information out there that should be out there about the comparison of angels and UFOs and all of that phenomenon, not necessarily being space people, you know. So I think this really opens up a can of worms that should have been opened a long time ago. So I'm very happy that that's happening. But if I could sit down with Chris and his family, you know, that's the only thing I would say. I know it's been happening for a while. I know you feel very good about it. I would just maybe question a little bit more. And maybe they have. I don't know. You know, Chris has said that there's a lot more to the story than, you know, he wrote in the book. So maybe he did question. I've watched some of the podcasts that his sons have on YouTube. And hats off to them. They seem like they're very well read when it comes to researching a lot of this phenomenon. So I could be far off base. You know, maybe they've already done their homework. Maybe they've already done their questioning. And maybe they're, very comfortable and rightly so with where they sit with this phenomenon unfolding around them. So, you know, I've kept everybody's ear in this particular show a lot longer than I wanted to. I usually try to keep this about, 30, 40 minutes, but I'm currently 51 minutes. but I thought this was something that would be interesting to talk about, something I wanted to talk about. I really enjoyed the book, UFO of God by Chris Bledsoe. And before I did this show, I did a Spirit Box session about Chris Bledsoe and the phenomenon. And I still have to transcribe all the words and go through. It's a little bit of a longer ITC session. But man, there was just some, unless I was hearing wrong, there was just some incredible stuff that came through. And I want to get that out, on the podcast next. And I asked some difficult questions. I mean, you'll hear in the show, I'll say, you know, is Chris Bledsoe going to die a sudden and painful death? You know, and I asked that question because I know of phenomenon like this where somebody is terminally ill, you know, or has a disease. And while the phenomenon is happening, that disease is held in check. But then at one point that phenomenon recedes and the disease comes back with a vengeance and the person ends up disabled or most of the time passes away. And I hope that's not what's going to happen to Chris. So I was a little worried and I wanted to ask when I'm communicating with Spirit, you know, is he going to be okay? Is this going to happen to him? You know, I hope not. So I asked some difficult questions. And, I'll clarify all that when I transcribe this session that I did. But, really interesting stuff. I want to get this out by next week. I usually put a ITC session that I did out on Tuesday or Wednesday. And I'll try to get that out by midweek and let you guys hear it. It just seemed like it was phenomenal stuff, and I really can't wait to get in there and listen to it and put the words on the screen and get that video out, because this was pretty awesome stuff. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation. I hope you'll come back and listen to the UFO of God ITC session that's upcoming. And I will talk to all of you next time here on the Spirit Side in search of Periurantian Phenomenon. Until then, everyone, stay safe, stay in love, stay in the light, and remember, if you have an encounter, don't be afraid to question. You have that authority. You have that spiritual right. So thank you again for listening. God bless you all, and I'll talk to you very soon. Bye for now.